Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Oh yeah, the Weekend Report is on your radio. My name is Tony Colombo. I am with my partner, Chris Arps.
Yes!
Who is back in the saddle again.
I feel like I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks.
I know,
and
it's been
just a week
2 weeks.
Passed.
Well, it's been a couple weeks, hasn't it?
A week.
Okay.
7 days? Eight days?
No, you weren't here 7 days ago. You were gone, out of town.
Tony, you know I'm not good
for
at math.
Easter. It was 2 weeks. It feels like 2 weeks because it was
last?
2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I didn't see you till the week before that.
Okay.
All right.
New math.
Yep.
It's tough for me.
Zach
tough
Factor
me.
Is here as well,
Zach.
In for Ryan Wiggins, who is on assignment. It's been a while since we've had the whole team together. You're here. Yeah. Ryan's gone. Ryan's here. You're gone.
I can't keep a straight face when you say on assignment.
He feels so close.
Yes, he is. He does feel close.
Hey, he's on assignment.
Yes.
He's working on a very important project for us, and we'll reveal that to you at a later date.
When we feel like it,
right.
One day.
Exactly.
If we want to reveal it.
Exactly. So Zach is here, and we've got a big show. We will be talking to our buddy Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC a little bit later on. America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone, is going to join us for a good chunk of this first hour. I think he'll be here for the next segment, and we're just going to get Keith's thoughts on everything. We'll probably get into some arguments. It'll be real good.
I think we can talk local, state, and national
Mr.
Antone.
Exactly. That's why I want him here for almost the whole hour. We're gonna hash it through these issues. It's been another busy week in the news, and we're just going to get through the headlines, and we're going to have America's favorite liberal with us and get his thoughts on all that stuff. So don't miss any of that. Also, coming up in the next hour, we will be talking to Skip Weber. Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet, of course, will be in the studio, and we will have another edition of the Weird News Challenge. Zach Factor gets a chance to redeem himself.
Have we ever played with Jill Devine?
She was supposed to be on today,
okay.
But she's sick.
Okay.
She's on the list.
Okay.
She's on your show sheet.
Tony, don't tell everybody that I'm unprepared.
Jill Devine from Y98 it was supposed to play the game today, but she is sick, so she's unable to compete. So that is why Zach Factor is getting...
I was going to say, I was a little disappointed when I saw Jill.
No,
on
you're
here.
On here. You're on,
so,
babe. You get your shot of redemption.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you won a game, Zach?
Because he answered a question.
I have
That's
answered
true.
A question.
That's true. I
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Have you buzzed in and answered a question? Or have you just cleaned up the mess after somebody missed a question?
Oh, here.
No,
here.
I've buzzed in before, but it was wrong.
That's what I was going to say. Have you buzzed in and answered a question and it was correct?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
That's...
Man, you're feeling good, huh?
I am.
You won recently, so you're
I'm
just
feeling good.
Talking trash.
Was in South Carolina for Easter, got back, lovely road trip with the wife, so
yeah.
I'm feeling good, Tony.
Good for you. All right, well, maybe you'll win. The Weird News Challenge this
Maybe.
Week. All right. It's got another special tie. It's got a.
I seem to win the special.
Well,
I won the last special one.
Yeah, you did.
I win the special.
Yeah, the baseball one.
Yeah.
Yep. So
and the president's.
Keep it here for that and all of that. There's a big show on tap for you. We're going to start it right now the way
big
we
show.
Do every week. And that is what we call, with what we call the Week in Review, looking back at some of the biggest headlines from the week that just passed. A big headline. I don't know how much. Maybe we can get a little bit more from Keith on this when he gets here, but I don't know how much of a story this is, but it was certainly a big headline. Joe Biden officially a part of the 2020 presidential election now. He is the 20th Democrat to officially enter the race running for presidency. What's it mean?
Yeah, I think you could probably describe this as the worst kept secret in politics that Joe Biden was going to run for president. He finally did get in and indulge. He is leading the pack. I think he's at 27%. Bernie's at 20. I think the first couple of weeks or whatever, he's going to be at the top because of name recognition. But I still think the sniffing of the hair and all of the creepy Uncle Joe stuff is going to come back and bite him. I also don't think that the Democratic Party of today is looking for an old white man to lead them.
It's definitely a question I have for Keith Antone.
And he's going to have a lot of trouble when it comes to when he was the Senate Judiciary Chairman with the Anita Hill hearings, how he kind of didn't give her a lot of respect, as some of the liberals said. He's also going to have to explain his Iraq war vote. So I think Joe's got the name recognition, and that's why he is leading, but he's going to have to answer a lot of questions from the liberal base.
Yeah, I just don't know that he's the guy that even the Democrats want leading their charge. Now, what do they do if Joe continues to dominate in the polls? What if he continues to lead? Will some of these more left-leaning socialist Democrats feel like they have to kind of lighten their stance a bit and come over and to Joe's team? Yeah. Or are they going to fight him all the way to the end and say, no, you're not far enough left. You don't represent us anymore.
Tony, I know you were you remember the other day on the think tank when I was on with Gabe.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we were talking about with Joe Biden, and that I believe that there's two Democratic parties right now. You have the establishment Democratic Party. They're the ones that want Joe Biden. They're the ones that think he can win the Reagan Democrats back. They think that he can go head to head with Trump in a debate. And then you've got the occasional Cortez, progressive, liberal, socialist Democrats who don't want him. So I think you're going to see a battle like you did in 2016 in the
Republican. Part of the Democratic Party is bigger?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think that's just going to be the interesting thing to see who wins that out. I think the Democratic primary is going to be like the Republican primary, where you had one candidate that was the establishment candidate, and then you had the other candidate that the grassroots or the activist want. And I think you're going to see that same dynamic playing out in the Democratic primary. Who wins? Who knows?
I think the socialist part of the Democratic Party is much bigger than the traditional moderate.
I don't know if they're much bigger. I'd say that they're more vocal.
They're much
and
louder.
more agitated, and they're more active on Twitter, which really that's all you really need nowadays.
Yeah. Zach, how old are you?
24.
So and the people that are in your age group, your friends, people that you know that are progressive, left-leaning, liberal, are they the more extreme socialist, progressive, liberal, or are they more mainstream, middle of the road?
I would say, well, my friend group specifically, more middle of the road.
Yeah.
Just because they at least haven't expressed to me views of the extreme socialism.
Right, right.
So.
Zach, but is your generation, are they falling for this free college and have that paid off and all that? Is that appealing to the millennials, or is it just the vocal ones that we hear on the radio and on TV? Does that appeal to your average millennial?
I think so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For sure, it does.
In trouble, Tony. Mm-hmm. The country's over then.
Well, here's the thing. It's not even their fault. It's not even the millennials' fault, because here's these established, lifelong government senators and congress people and these people that are supposed to know, and they're lawmakers, and they're the ones that implement these policies and run the country, and there's so many of them saying that they can do that, this is a thing that can happen, and not only can happen but should happen. They're telling these people, look, this is the way it should be. Free education, free health care, this is what you deserve, this is what America should have. And so if you have these people that, you know, Bernie Sanders has been in the Senate for 150 years. So, of course, if you're a 22-year-old college graduate and you've got somebody who's been a senator for so long saying, yeah, we can do this, and I've got a plan to make it happen, why wouldn't they believe it?
And we've had this debate on several shows. I know that the progressive left is very loud and they seem to be influential within the Democratic Party. I still don't believe that they are as influential as you're giving them credit
I
to.
Hope you're right.
I hope I am too.
I hope you're right.
I don't think we're that far left. I think they just... They get all the attention because Twitter is a sewer and people, you know, Twitter's more popular than Facebook right now. So I think that's why
they're getting all the votes in the polls, except for Joe Biden. The extreme progressives are the ones that are getting the votes in the polls, and they're the ones that are raising all the money. So all these different people are, you know, somebody's giving them the money. Somebody's making these campaign contributions to these socialist extreme left politicians.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just naive. I just don't think we're there yet. Well, Close, but...
Yeah, I hope you... Like I said, I've said this many times, and I'm sticking to it. We will elect a socialist before it's all said and done. Not this time.
In our lifetime?
Not in 2020.
You think in our lifetime?
Yeah.
Okay.
No doubt. Unless something changes, I think for sure we're going to elect a socialist in our lifetime, and it's going to take that. It'll be at that moment when... All of the promises have been proven to be unattainable and impossible to fulfill.
Do you think this person will call themselves a socialist, or they'll just have a bunch of socialist ideas and people will go with that? But do you think we'll actually elect someone that says, "Hi, I'm Chris Arps. I'm a socialist"? Do you think someone that straightforward will be elected?
There will be a Democrat on. It'll say Democrat on the ballot.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to run away from the word socialism.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Just like, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, they don't run away from the word socialism. Yeah. And they're going to make capitalism the bad word. They're going to say socialism gets a bad rap. And we're not going to go full-blown socialism, although they are going to try to do that. But they're going to say, oh, it's not that bad, and it's going to be... And then we're going to elect it, and then it's going to be a mess. Then it's going to be proven wrong, and then we'll start to bounce back. And hopefully we'll be able to bounce back. Hopefully the damage isn't done. That's my unfortunate, bleak outlook of the future.
I think that would come along if we have a succession of Republican presidents.
Yeah.
And the people say we're tired of capitalism, Republicanism, we need to do something
I don't think
different.
It's happening now, but I think it's happening in the future for sure. All right, we got to take a break, and we will get Keith Antones, America's favorite liberal. We'll get all his thoughts on these stories, as well as tackle some more of the big issues that happened this week. Next, don't go anywhere. Got a lot of Weekend Report coming your way here on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Zach Factor in the studio with you today. And now joining us on the
phone. Wait. I got to take my blood pressure pill.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
All right.
That's
all right.
A good
I'm
idea.
Good now.
All right.
Okay.
As I mentioned in the last segment, joining us on the phone now, America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone. How are you?
And the fans go crazy.
How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Glad to be with you guys.
Excellent.
Absolutely. So, Keith, we were just talking, Chris and I, about Joe Biden officially entering the 2020 presidential race. We were talking about your party a little bit, and we were talking about where the power lies in the Democratic Party. Is it with the more extreme left socialist wing of the party, Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or is it with Joe Biden and the more traditional, more moderate Democrat? I think it's the extreme left. Chris thinks it's the more moderate. It's your people. Tell us what you think. Who's driving the ship these days?
Well, I think it's what Biden said when he was being interviewed a couple of days ago. It's the Obama Biden Democrat. He said, "I'm an Obama Biden Democrat." Right? I think that you're going to see more. You know, they're making a lot of noise on the extreme far left, the AOCs and the Uncle. Uncle Bernie. But I really feel, from what I see, I think we saw it here in the on the local level with the president of the Board of Aldermen race, where you had Megan Green saying she was with the Socialist Party, and then you had Senator Jamila Nasheed saying she was not with the Socialist Party, but, you know, that she kind of favored a lot of the things that some of the Socialist Party favors. And so we saw it here locally in that last election, and we all know that Lewis Reed, who's more of a moderate Democrat, you know, won that race as well. So I think that they make a lot of noise on the extreme left, and I can see some of what they do, you know, because I'd like to think that change is not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that as we move forward in this race, it's a crowded field. What my concern is, and I said this before, that, you know, with 20 people in the race, you know, I think Joe is the one that is going to come, you know, rise to the top and eventually be the nominee. But it's going to be a tough process.
I hope you're right as far as not Joe being the nominee, but as far as it being the more traditional moderate Democrat running the ship. I'm not sure I agree, but I certainly hope that you are right. How do you respond when you see in the news, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders talking about, you know, these extreme left positions? They are getting a lot of attention. They're getting a lot of people's eyeballs and ears on, you know, some of the issues that your party is pushing. Do you feel like, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is good for the Democratic Party, or do you think that she's hurting the party?
Well, I think we've always had different factions within the party. In the Republican Party years ago, we had the Tea Party. We had different, you know, fractions of the party. So I think it's good that she brings out, and again, she ran on those principles and you know, the policies that she's bringing up, the Green Deal, you know, the tuition, free tuition. I think, you know, I think what's happening is that she is good because you do need. I mean, I don't think we're not monolithic people, and I don't think that we have to be a monolithic party, just like within the Republican Party. So I think she is good. She brings up great points, and it's good for the party. I think it's healthy. I don't think we should all be up there and be singing out the same hymnal. I think we do need different people to raise different points. I just think that there's somewhere there's a middle ground, and I think Joe Biden would right now, out of the 20 that's running, would be that middle ground where he's not so far to the left and not so, you know, and just close enough to the middle where I think he can get some of those, you know, those Democrats that left the party in 2016 to come back to the party. And to, you know, who didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, but that'll come back and vote with the Democrats in 2020.
Keith, the dilemma that I see for the Democratic Party this presidential cycle is, do you guys want to win, or is it more important to advance a liberal agenda? I think that's the debate the Democratic Party is going to have. I think, touch on this, even though, you know, you seem to be favoring Joe a lot. I know you haven't picked out a candidate, but how much is the Anita Hill situation, Joe Biden's vote on the Iraq war, and just his touchy-feely weirdness, how much will that affect him, do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be more noise and distraction being raised by your party, by the Republicans.
No, these are, Keith, these people, Anita Hill and Iraq vote, that's all your progressives are going to be criticizing him on those issues. He's going to have to watch his left flank on that.
Yeah, but here's the deal. They've all got something, right? We got a president in there right now that had some baggage. And was still able to be elected in 2016. So I think he's got these things. I think he's been trying to address them. He was on The View this morning, and he tried to address it. He said he's reached out to Anita Hill, and I think what we got to do, though, I think sooner than later, he's going to have to come out and start talking about issues and not his past and his, you know, his old school way of, you know, being a hugger and grabbing. And I think he's addressed it pretty good. I'm not going to say he's going to silence all of the critics, but I think he's addressed it some. He's addressed it and said, hey, listen, you know what? I did do those things, and I've learned from that, and I know now moving forward, this is a new era. I'm from, you know, so I think it's he seems to genuinely, to me, to be ready to move forward and start talking about policies and how he's going to continue an agenda.
Let's switch gears for a second and go local to Better Together. I can't think of one issue that has united Black Democrats, Black Republicans, White Republicans, Black Democrats against Better Together. It seems to be universally. Go ahead, Tony.
Clean Missouri. Clean Missouri is another one that seems to bring White Republicans and Black Democrats together. But your point is well taken,
exactly.
Chris. This situation, this is what I assume you're talking about, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keith, and I know you're aware of the situation as well. The Democratic Black Caucus came out this week. The Missouri Democratic Black Caucus came out this week against Better Together and called on John Gaskin III, who is the president of the St. Louis County NAACP. They called him out to step down from that position after Gaskin came out in support of Better Together, but then it was later found out that he's actually paid a salary by Better Together. And the Democratic Black Caucus says it looks like the NAACP and Gaskin are trying to, and Better Together are trying to buy the black vote. It's a mess, Keith. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, let me just, full disclosure, I know John.
Yeah, he's been on this show before, and he was very open and honest with us when he was here. I was hoping we could get him back this week, but he didn't get back to us.
He's not doing interviews this
week.
Yeah. I know him well. I know the family very well. I was a member of the St. Louis County NAACP for a number of years. Let me say this. John, the press conference was on Thursday. John called me on Friday. I missed the call. Saturday morning, we had a very extensive conversation. And let me share the part I think I can share that's mm-hmm. public. I shared with him and I told him that the optics of it didn't look good, right? The fact that you came out and the organization without talking to some of the other members, having a press conference, and I said, listen, it didn't look good. Now, the fact
you're talking about when he came out and endorsed Better Together and gave his and the county NAACP's endorsement of Better Together, but didn't talk to other members of the NAACP before doing that. I just want to be clear on the timeline here.
Exactly. And I said, you know, the fact that you did this and then the fact with the part that looks like you were being bought and paid for was the fact that you're getting a salary from the same people. Mm-hmm. So that kind of looks
and
like
didn't a- disclose that information yeah. up front.
If he would have disclosed it, would that have lessened the severity of this controversy a little bit if he would have disclosed up front that I'm being paid?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. I think that the Missouri Black Democrats, I think that the other African-American community leaders and people that I've talked to, that they would have still had the same kind of concern. I think but now what I do think is if he was not being paid by Better Together, then you still would be able to have people say, oh, well, he's been, you know, why is he, you know, compromising the organization? Mm. Why is he, you know, using our organization? Where is it? And so some people are still saying that the organization somehow, I'm hearing rumors that the organization somehow still is benefiting as well as John benefiting. I don't know that to be true. He didn't share that with me. I just said, you know, listen, it's just the optics of it. It just does not look good. And to be honest with you, the reality is, it's just like, you know, nonprofits and just like, you know, should I think personally, nonprofits should not be coming out and endorsing issues and politicians. Just like churches cannot come out and say, they'll allow different candidates to come in and speak, so, you know, but the pastor can't get up and say, now I want you all to go out and vote. You know, I just don't think nonprofits and churches should be out there in the political arena. That's just me personally saying, I don't think that they should be out there, because, you know, the fact of the matter is, you have things like this that come up that, okay, well, why are you supporting? And it's very controversial. And I see very little support for this whole better together movement from African Americans. As you guys said earlier, I see black Republicans, black Democrats, white Democrats. You know, I see a whole lot of folks coming out against this thing, and for their own reasons.
Yeah. You know, Keith, it's always telling to me as a longtime political watcher that when a public figure or a politician gets into trouble, it's telling who comes out for them and defends them. And when a politician or a public figure is in trouble and you don't see any people coming out supporting them in any way, screams out to me. With this John Gaskin NAACP situation, you know, they have interviewed or tried to interview a couple of board members, and they kind of gave, you know, one sentence comments. But there's not really a lot of people that are coming out defending him. And what's really surprising to me is that his grandmother, Esther Haywood, ex-state rep, and who also ran the NAACP, has remained silent. This kind of tells me that he did this kind of unilaterally and didn't consult with anyone on this. What's your opinion?
Except for the people that were paying him.
Except for the people that were paying him.
Yeah.
Well, again, as I said earlier, I'm very, very close to the family. And one of the reasons I think that I know for a fact, his grandmother's been very ill.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why I think that she hasn't came out and stepped out is that she has been ill. And the fact that she has stepped back and is letting John take the reins. John's very smart. He's been in the NAACP. He's the youngest national board member of the NAACP, the youngest president. He's a very smart guy. The timing of this, though, one of the things that I have to say that, you know, and this isn't coming out to defend or to attack anyone, but I'll say this. Remember, John had a job in the Stinger administration, and they were jumping off the ship over there around the same time. And I think, you know, it's safe to say that he was leaving that position and looking for employment, you know, which, again, I think that might have had something to do with his decision to take a job with the organization. Again, not saying it's right or wrong, but I know that, you know, he was in the Stinger administration, and I think it was Bill Miller had jumped off the ship. I think it was another guy that was over there.
Keith, did we mention this is a no-spin zone when we started the interview there?
Listen, hold on. Talking America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone. That was Chris, Keith, not me. I'm
Keith
fine
knows
with
I
your
love
hands,
him.
But we are almost out of time, so I want to ask you two really quick questions. You're friends with John Gaskin, but you're also a advocate for the Democratic Party, especially the Missouri Democratic Party. We have the Democratic Black Caucus of Missouri asking John Gaskin to step down from his position at the NAACP. What is better for the party? Has John Gaskin lost the confidence of the people that he is trying to lead? Should he step down from the NAACP?
I think that's going to be a personal decision. I don't think that...
Better for the party and what's better for the organization?
Well, I think I think it's going to have to be a personal decision for John to step down. But I do think as it relates to up until this point, his record has been impeccable with the NAACP. He's been there for, you know, 20. We call him an NAACP baby. He's been there involved in the organization his entire life. and he's done some good work early in his presidency, where he's come out with a platform that I think is going to help the African-American community. I think that he's, again, this is just me saying, I think that's a personal decision on whether he wants to step down, but I think that, you know.
Well, I agree that it's a personal decision if you want to step down or not, but it's what is better for the organization, in your opinion? Or do you just, I'll give you an out. If you're too close to him personally that you don't want to answer that question, I will respect that.
No. I mean, I say it that this is a decision that he's going to have to make. But I think he has the confidence of the other board members of continuing and going on.
That's what I want to hear. That's the important part right there. That's what I want to hear.
I think that the members, the other rank and file, from what I understand,
Chris Arps does not agree with what you're saying. I'm fine with it, but he's shaking his head at you. I'm just telling you that because you're not here to see it. You can't see the faces that your friend is making.
I need
making some
Pepto-Bismol, man. I'm getting busy.
Hey, listen, this is why he's America's favorite liberal.
Yes,
because he stirs it up.
And
I
got a
it.
Ton more questions, too, about other topics.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Keith, well, hopefully we can have you back again really soon. If people want to follow you, social media, websites, any of that kind of good stuff, how can people keep up with America's favorite liberal?
I'm going to have to get that hashtag.
Yes.
At Keith Antone on all social media platforms. And thank you guys for having me.
Always.
For the rest of your
yes.
day.
Always great to talk with you. I'm sure we'll have you back again real soon. Keith Antone, thanks so much for your time.
All right. Take care.
All right. You bet. All right. We got to take a quick break, but more Weekend Report coming next. We'll unpack a little bit about what Keith just said, because I know you were dying to jump in there.
Dying.
Yes. All right. We'll do that next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Yeah, baby.
Slow I like that.
Jam.
That and the reggae song is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Or Skip's theme is.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here. Chris Arps, my partner right there. Zach Factor producing the show today, and for Ryan Wiggins, who will be back next week. Big thank you to America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone, who joined us in that last segment. We want to unpack some of the stuff that he was talking about. But before we do that, want to remind folks that if you missed any of this show or you want to hear it again, you can always download our podcast absolutely free at 971talk.com or, better yet, the radio.com app. Download the radio.com app for free. Stream the station for free. Download all the podcasts here on the station for free. It's so easy. And it's so handy because everything that you want from the station is right there, click of a button. Of course, you can download our podcast pretty much anywhere that you download podcasts, but I highly recommend you check out that radio.com app. Coming up in the second hour of today's show, we are going to have Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC here. He has a brand new, amazing truck that he has converted into a rolling showroom. We shot a little video in that showroom that you can see at 971talk.com/weekendreport or just right on the 971 YouTube page. Going to talk to Brian about that and going to talk to him about this being the time of year that you're going to be turning on your air conditioners and running them hard for the first time in several months, and tips to look out for, tips that you can do to make sure that when you do make that transition and you turn on that air conditioner, that everything works well for you. And of course, if it doesn't, then you got to call Brian Eggers and they'll come out and take care of you. So we've got that coming up. Also, Skip Weber will be in here for another edition of the Weird News Challenge. Can't wait for that. But right now, let's dive back into some of these issues of the week. We were just talking to Keith Antone about John Gaskin III, the president of the St. Louis County NAACP, and this situation that has happened with Better Together. He came out in favor of Better Together. It was found out he was drawing a salary. Missouri Democratic Black Caucus has asked him to step down. I asked Keith Antone what was the best thing for the organization? Would it be better if John Gaskin indeed did step down, like the Black Caucus is asking him to do? Keith Antone brilliantly weaved his way around that question without ever really answering it. What do you think?
I don't think, you know, we talked about it after the segment. I don't see how Mr. Gaskin continues as the NAACP president. I mean, anything now that they advocate for, the next question is going to be, is he getting paid mm-hmm. for it? You know, John Gaskin is a young man. I think he's 25, 26 years old, still has a long career left in politics. But I think probably the best thing for him in this part of his career is to step away from this NAACP presidency, redeem his reputation and his credibility and come back to fight another day.
Sticking on local issues, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Clean Missouri. Back in the news, Missouri lawmakers are trying to find a way to change what happened in November. Voters approved this constitutional amendment that on the outside looked like an ethics package, but actually on the inside, there's a big redistricting measure. And it's one of these issues. We were joking that there's two issues that white Republicans and black Democrats in Jefferson City have all come together seemingly in favor of, and that mm-hmm. is to defeat Better Together.
Yes.
And then the second one is to not let this Clean Missouri redistricting process happen, because many on the left, especially in African American mm-hmm. leadership, think that it's going to dilute the black vote. And Republicans agree with that and then have a bunch of other issues mm-hmm. with this situation. What are your thoughts?
You know, Tony, I made it no secret during the debate for Clean Missouri that I was against it.
Yeah.
I appeared on other radio
yeah.
shows. I did interviews talking about how Clean Missouri would disenfranchise African-American voters,
mm-hmm.
especially when it came to the redistricting scheme part of it. You had the potential of having North St. Louis state rep district going all the way down to Cape Girardeau or to rural areas. And I tried to argue that this would disenfranchise voters. But, you know, here's the NAACP again back into the news. The Missouri State Chapter president of the NAACP was the treasurer for the Clean Missouri initiative. And now the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus is coming out and saying that, hey, guess what? Clean Missouri is going to disenfranchise black voters. So I'm like,
hello.
We tried to tell you this.
Right.
We told you this was going to happen. And it just, if I had hair, I would pull the little hair that I had out just from this. You know, we told you this was going to disenfranchise black voters.
I want to jump across the river. I'm trying to get through as many of these stories rapid fire as we can. What do you think about this situation with the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker, under investigation? He's a billionaire. He has several homes. He has a big mansion in Chicago, and he had the toilets all taken
yeah.
out of this mansion. So it would be deemed uninhabitable, because if you don't have toilets, you
yeah.
can't live in a place. So he had all these toilets pulled out of this mansion in Chicago in order to, once it's deemed mm-hmm. uninhabitable, then you don't have to pay as many taxes on
yeah.
it.
I'm not surprised. A lot of people don't know this, that J.B. Pritzker is an heir to the Hyatt Hotel fortune.
Yeah.
So he's been entitled his entire life. And it's just an example of liberal hypocrisy. You know, one of their main things that they talk about is the rich, the wealthy, paying their fair share
yes.
and paying into the system.
Yes.
And then here we have J.B. Pritzker, a billionaire.
And he's raising taxes
yeah.
everywhere he can to pay for entitlement programs, but he's trying to dodge
but
taxes.
But he's trying to dodge taxes. Where is the
And there's
pay
a legal way
share?
To dodge taxes. There's
mm-hmm.
a way to just, you know, that's what accountants do. They
yeah.
help you figure
yep.
out ways, loopholes in the law. Or you can tear out all your toilets.
Yeah. I think there's...
Which is just ridiculous.
I think there's... I don't know what the over-under is on this, but I think we could possibly having another Illinois governor potentially going to the Gray Bar Hotel in the next couple of years. So, Illinois politics.
Yeah.
Gotta love it. Keeps you entertained.
Cory Booker this week committed to having a woman running mate. This is one of the things that we ran out of time with
yeah.
Keith Antone that I wanted to ask him about. He's committed to having a woman running mate, and now that has become like a thing, because the very first question to Joe Biden's spokesperson after his announcement, he was asked immediately if he would commit to do the same. Will you commit right now to have a female running mate? And they were like, we just announced president. Yeah. We don't know who our running mate's going to be yet. Is there a quota now to make sure that you have a female representation on your ticket? Otherwise, you're disqualified?
Well, What's going on? It's Democratic identity politics. Three of their rising stars in the Democratic Party right now are women. Omar, Ocasio-Cortez, and Tlaib. So I think this is just a crass ploy to get that liberal women's vote. To me, if you make a commitment like that, that you are going to, it sounded like he made a commitment to choose a woman instead of committing a woman, and that committed to a woman, and kind of makes you think, you know, are you choosing the best person, the best capable person, or are you trying to fulfill a quota?
Right. Elizabeth Warren said at town hall this week that the president should be impeached. Kamala Harris said Congress should look into impeachment hearings as well. Is this a winning strategy for these Democrats that are trailing in the polls right now to jump on the impeachment bandwagon?
I think it helps with the base to try to raise their name recognition, raise their popularity. But as an overall general strategy, I think it's a terrible strategy. And it goes back to what we were talking about with Keith Antone, and the Democratic Party is going to have to make a choice between the establishment people and the activist type of a candidate. Which one do they want to go with? Do they want to win, or do they want to push the liberal agenda?
And lastly, Bill de Blasio says New York buildings have to get rid of glass and steel.
Yeah, he's he's just, and you know what? And
by 2030, they have to get rid of glass and steel and lower emissions by 30%.
I mean, besides the fact that he is an idiot, but you know, there is talk that he is talking about maybe running for president. He hasn't. He may throw his hat in.
There's
so maybe
20 other people.
Yeah. So maybe this is just some thing to throw out to get attention.
All right, we got to wrap this up. That does it for the first hour of the Weekend Report. But we have an entire second hour coming your way. Skip Weber will be in for the Weird News Challenge, and we're going to talk to our friend Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, it is, and it is the second hour of the Weekend Report on your radio. Thank you for listening to FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner Chris Arps.
Yes.
Producer Zach Factor is on the wheels of steel, filling in for Ryan Wiggins this week.
See how enthusiastic he is about it.
So happy to be here.
I was settling into the chair.
I see. Is that what that was? Mm-hmm. And joining us now in studio, as I mentioned in the last segment, one of the great sponsors of this show, Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC. Great to see you, my friend. How's it going?
It's going well. Great to be here.
Yeah. So I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show that we were in your brand new rolling showroom recently. We shot a video that people can go see on our website, 971talk.com/weekendreport, or if you're just on the 971 YouTube page, you can see it there as well. But you have created this masterpiece, this beautiful showroom that you can take around and show to your customers. Talk about the truck and explain it to people as best you can if they haven't seen the video yet.
Sure. The truck was a concept that I came up with about a year ago. I went to a Linux conference and they were talking about expanding your reach and thinking outside the box and doing business differently, basically. And, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do outside the box in heating and cooling to spice it up.
Sure.
But, you know, one of the things that I thought is that as we get down the road of high efficiency, high technology heating and cooling equipment, people, I think, are underserved because they can't really experience what it is until after they commit and it's installed in their house. And as a consumer, that would give me pause if, I'm looking at numbers on a paper and don't really know until it's installed what I'm getting. So the whole idea behind the truck was that we can roll out to a customer's house. They can walk on board and see some options and get a taste of what is out there, what the equipment sounds like, interact with the thermostat, and get comfortable with it. And to me, it's not about selling equipment, even though that's what we're in business to do. It's about the experience.
Yeah.
And it's about educating people on what their options are. And I always try to give people four options for a furnace, four options for an AC, just so that they can select what works for their budget, what works for their family, their lifestyle.
You know, I was going to mention that. That is true Eggers fashion right there, is you go into this beautiful truck, and yeah, there's the top of the line, most expensive unit right there that does all the whistles and bells, and it's amazing. But you also put the basic equipment in there as well. So it's not like you're just rolling that out there and trying to sell them on the brand new, most expensive thing so you make the most money. There's options even in this amazing showroom that you've built, so people can make sure that they make the decision that's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that dedication to customer service and proof that it's not just all about pulling out every last penny you can from somebody, that really sets you guys apart. And I know that's I know that's part of the reason why you started your own company.
It is. To me, it's never been about, high pressure sales. In fact, anytime I've talked to, an industry person about my sales and how I approach sales and the fact that I email customers a comprehensive bid and don't deliver it to them. I mean, we can certainly talk about all the prices while I'm there. But I email them their quote and I leave. And, a lot of companies a lot of trainers are like, man, that's crazy. You should try to nail somebody down while you're there. And to me, that's never been my approach. And my closing percentage on sales is in the high 80s. And it's because I don't push anybody. Yeah. I inform people of what's out there and let them choose what they want to do. Wow. And if they want to use us, fantastic. Yeah. And if they don't, I'm okay with that too.
Well, I know that I appreciate that type of service a lot better than the person that you can tell they don't want to leave your kitchen until they get your signature on something.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about, the 2 hour, yeah. 2 hour plus, you
right.
know, interrogation.
Yeah, full court press.
I'm not interested in that. I mean, I've spent 2 hours in somebody's house, but it's always somebody who wants to spend 2 hours talking about the equipment, or I'm not gonna bail if somebody has questions about things. It's not like I'm gonna say, well, your time's up, you only got 45 minutes, I'm out. But I've got other customers that only want to talk for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's customized to whatever the person desires as far as their visit with me and the experience that they're after.
Yeah.
And I can vouch for Eggers. Eggers Heating and Cooling put in a new air conditioner for my mom last summer to keep her cool. And our air conditioner at my house went out last fall. And so Becky and I, we didn't want to bite the bullet on buying a new air conditioner that year. So Brian came out about 6 weeks ago, gave us a good bid on a furnace and an air conditioner. And we're going to have to bite the bullet real soon because it's getting hot in the house. So we can vouch for Eggers Heating and Cooling.
You know what? A lot of people, I think, are going to be in that situation that Chris and Becky find themselves in right now. And I know that you said when we were talking off the air, that was one of the reasons that you wanted to get this truck done now, because it's about to be that time where people are going to be turning on their air conditioners for the first time. Maybe it's been on once for a few minutes, but they're going to start running them hard for the first time really soon. And that can show some problems that maybe you didn't know about that have developed over the long winter. Talk about the things that people should be looking for as they make that transition this time of year.
Well, the number one thing is, please change your air filter.
Yes.
I can't believe the number of times that we go out, and I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody.
Chris just pointed at himself.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna point.
We've never changed ours in 7 years. I will admit that over the air.
Never.
Never. The seven years we've lived there, we've never changed.
Oh
it.
My goodness.
Which probably means that you spend about 15% or 20% more every month on your cooling.
And that's probably why we'll be buying a new air conditioner and furnace in the next couple of weeks here.
I would say that probably has something to do with it. But definitely changing the air filter is key.
Never.
And then making sure that the outdoor unit is cleaned off. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, I can hose it off, and they never get around to doing it. It's so much easier just to call for service. $89 We come out, we clean it off, we turn it on, hook gauges up to it. Our testing equipment isn't just a couple of pressure gauges. It's literally electronics that check the superheat, the subcooling, all the inside stuff that we look at to make sure that the equipment's running correctly and to make sure that it's properly charged and that there's not a restriction of airflow or whatever the case is that can be problematic.
Yeah, that's some basic maintenance that so many people just forget about and just don't do.
Everybody's busy.
It's so key to just do those basic things, keep it clean, change the air filter, and those things will last a lot longer if you just do those basic things.
Sure.
What else is there anything else that people should be looking for, listening for this time of year as you turn on that air conditioner for the first time? Any other tips that people should know about, you know, or is it just best to, if it doesn't seem to be working properly, call you guys and just have you come take a look?
For sure. And one of the things that I see people do a lot is they'll turn an AC on and realize it's not functioning like it should, and they leave it on. And that's kind of like when your check oil light comes on, and you're like, that's fine, I'm going to keep driving. and we show up to probably the majority of people, even after we've told them on the phone, well, make sure you shut your air conditioner off. We get there, and it's physically still running.
Mm.
And if it's low on Freon, depending upon how low it is, it can be frozen. So we can't really work on it till it thaws out.
Right.
Or you can have such a small amount of refrigerant in the system that you're just sitting there wasting energy and, more importantly, baking the compressor.
Yeah, I was going to say, could you damage the unit by leaving it on like that?
Yeah, because a lot of air conditioning systems don't have low-pressure cutout switches that say, hey, I'm out of Freon, stop working. And it relies on that refrigerant coming back to the compressor to cool it off.
Yeah.
So you just sit there and you literally cook one to death if you're running it. And it's not going to shut off. That's the thing is, you know, air conditioning systems are made to cycle on, cycle off because there's a call for air conditioning from the thermostat. And once it's satisfied, it rests. When you're in an environment where you're never going to satisfy that call or that demand from the thermostat, it's just going to run and run and run and run. And that's when compressors get chewed up.
Yeah. Yeah. That is Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC. Check out the 971talk.com/weekend report, our webpage. We just were outside in Brian's new rolling showroom. I don't even know what else to call it. On the outside, it looks like a big 18-wheeler, but you get inside and it's like nicer than my house in there. It is absolutely beautiful. And it really gives you a chance to check out all the different options that Eggers has for you when it comes to heating and air conditioning units. Even those wall mount units that have come a long way from like sticking something in your window.
Right.
If you have that upstairs room that never seems to get cooled down, or you have maybe a separate structure that's a small little thing but you want to have heating and air conditioning in it.
Or a three seasons porch that you want to use year round.
Yeah, talk about those units for just a second. So those are really cool.
Yeah, it's called a ductless system, ductless mini split, basically is what we refer to it in the industry. And basically it's a wall hung unit. That's the typical residential application, is just the wall hung unit that is a cassette that sits on the wall. And then there's a condenser outside. There's no ductwork needed. And it's perfect for applications like second floor corner bedroom that, you know, is facing the south and is cooking all summer long. The rest of the house is comfortable, but that master bedroom is like 8 degrees hotter.
Yeah.
Great application for that. I've got customers who have three seasons porches that have, you know, glass windows in them, but there's no ventilation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So you get 90 degrees outside and it's like 117 in their porch and they're like, you know, I'd kind of like to use this year round. So that's another perfect application.
Yeah, you know, I know people that have two-story homes that have an entire unit, a second unit, you know, powering one whole floor because they have that one trouble spot and they're trying to address that. And that just to me seems like absolute overkill when you can just install one of these ductless units right in that room.
Right.
And solve the problem that way.
And something else that people kind of don't have a general idea of is that homes that are two-story that are built with one system typically have about a 10 degree difference between first and second floor. Mm-hmm. And just by selecting a variable speed blower on the furnace that they purchase is going to cut that number typically in less than in half.
Wow.
And then you can also have control over the humidity in the house. So not only can you say, I want it to be whatever your favorite set point is, 74, but I want 50% humidity. And when you can dry your air out, dust mites can't survive. And it's a lot more comfortable on that second floor.
You know, we had my parents had a house built in 1974 that was a two-story. And we always, you know, knew that the upstairs didn't get as cool as the bottom. But we realized much, much later that the unit installed was for a single-story mm-hmm. house, not mm-hmm. not a two-story. And did you see that a lot?
We do. And what I see is that, you know, when consumers are getting ready to replace that second-floor system, if they have a second-floor system, many times that they are smaller than the square footage or the load of the house would mm-hmm. dictate. Sometimes it's as much as a ton too small. Typically it's mm-hmm. a half ton too small. And I don't know if the builder was trying to save himself a few hundred bucks by putting in equipment that was a little bit too small, but you're certainly not doing yourself any favor if you're running that AC.
Yeah, we ended up getting a bigger unit and all of a sudden... You know, the upstairs was cool, and it was like, that's all we needed was a bigger air conditioner.
Almost out of time. We're talking with Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC, this amazing, beautiful rolling showroom that he has built. If you are looking for a new air conditioner, if you need a new system, call Eggers. They'll come out with this truck, and you'll get to actually see and mm-hmm. feel and touch these units.
All it needs is a big screen and a...
It's got a big screen. And it has a couch.
Oh, okay.
It has all those things.
I told you, it's nicer than my house, man.
It's absolutely incredible. Again, you can see the video on the 97.1 YouTube page or at 97.1talk.com/weekendreport. But Brian, if people do want to get a hold of you guys, they want you to come out and take a look at the unit as, you know, they're getting ready to turn on their air conditioners this year. What's the best ways to get a hold of Eggers?
A lot of people reach us through our website at calleggers.com. The phone number is 636-681-1976. And for a period of time, which I'm not sure what it is right now, if you have us out, you look at the equipment, you decide to purchase from us, you'll get, at no charge, 10 years of labor on top of your manufacturer's parts warranty.
Ooh, that's amazing. That is amazing. Take advantage of that while you can. So check them out at calleggers.com. Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC, thanks so much for your time. We'll see you again real soon.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with more Weekend Report. Weird News Challenge with Skip Weber is coming next. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Now live.
If you lose me, that's your official.
Yes, it is.
There it is. The unofficial theme song of Skip Weber.
It is official.
Oh, it's official now.
It's official.
It looked official in the folder.
Yeah.
Said Skip Weber.
It's labeled Skip Weber.
Yeah. It's labeled Skip Weber, I have claimed it. I don't know how much more you need to do to make
that's
it official than that.
It's official. I guess
Jeff Allen needs to be signed off on that. This is official. I mean,
that music means that Skip Weber is in the building. Welcome back into the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. A big thank you again to Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC, who was just here. Check out the video of his amazing rolling showroom at 971talk.com/weekendreport, or just go to the 97.1 YouTube page. He built an amazing truck that gives you an opportunity to see all the products that Eggers offers. So next time, if you have a service call or you need to have them come out, you can actually see, feel, and touch all of that stuff before you make a decision on what you want. Also, don't forget that you can download our podcast of this show absolutely free, 971talk.com. Click on podcasts, or just download the radio.com app to your phone or tablet or whatever. Radio.com app is absolutely free. You can stream the station 24/7 from that app, and you can download all the podcasts of the shows on this station, including the Weekend Report. And again, all of that is absolutely free, so you don't miss anything like another edition of the Weird News Challenge.
Like another edition of the Saturday Evening Rock Show, yes! Which is gaining momentum. Mm. Unfortunately, you can't do the podcast. You have to listen to it live because we have music.
Music,
on it.
Right.
But I'm just telling you.
Saturday Evening Rock Show, it's starring
jamming.
Skip Weber.
It's getting better every week. I was so nervous. I'm finally settling into my own. And I'm telling you, I've actually got feedback on it now.
Yeah.
It's good. I can't wait for this. This week's show is unbelievable, in my opinion.
Because you have themes every week.
I have a notebook of future themes.
I love it.
I'm embracing this theme stuff. It's not as deep a track as Mark did. But
I like that better.
I kind of do too.
Deep tracks are cool, but I like to hear the songs that I know.
Yeah. And here's a story about the song.
It's a perfect thing to turn on Saturday evenings when you're barbecuing or you're hanging out.
It's a perfect thing to listen to the app because if you're running around, you turn it on the app and you listen. That's why I brought it up when you're talking about the app. So.
You know, Skip, I've started to notice you're starting to get a radio DJ voice too.
Well, thank you very much.
Skip's got the pipes, man. He's got the pipes. I'd kill for
it. It's the nerves, man. It's the nerves. You guys who are so comfortable behind the mic, that's what I'm jealous of.
Skip Weber on KFDK 97.1, the Skip Weber Show.
95 degrees in the big city.
Yeah, there you go.
We have a breakdown in the depressed section.
Please don't start doing that. Quarter past the hour, the Sunday night rock and roll Saturday evening rock and roll show here on FM News Talk 97.1.
I change it to evening from night because to me Saturday evening sounds more laid back than Saturday night.
It.
And even if we're rocking hard, we're still a laid back show.
Yep.
We're just chilling with some.
What time does that show start?
9 o'clock.
Nine to ten. 9 to 10, the Saturday evening rock show right here on FM News.
And if everybody listens to it and likes it, then maybe they give me another hour.
Yeah.
Really play some songs.
I like it. Yeah. I like
it. Can you play hip-hop in the second hour?
It started. The music show started as a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
And you already did expand to an hour.
Yeah.
So the idea of evolving to 2 hours is not out of the question.
People associated with our show get promotions and move on.
I know. So tell me about
it. You probably will get 2 hours.
Yeah. We're kingmakers, baby.
Yeah, we're kingmakers.
Yeah, that's right. And we stay right here. We don't go
You
anywhere.
Always bring that up. You got to rub that salt in the wound.
All right. We have got to get down to business.
Business.
I don't know. Did we mention on the air earlier that Jill Devine from Y98 was supposed to make her debut appearance on the Weird News Challenge?
It's just another radio personality that's scared.
I think
That's exactly right.
She's scared.
Yeah.
Jill and I have a banter.
Glover's scared.
There you
Glover's scared. Trish is kind of scared. She sometimes shows up.
She's not here this week either.
She's scared.
It was supposed to be Trish and Jill.
I know.
And neither one of them are here. I think you scared them away with your dominance.
Where was I going to
go say dominance? Yeah, I think Chris, you
we're
know.
Trish and Jill, and where
well,
am
you,
I?
You two.
You guys kicked me to the curb.
You two are the. You two have the.
Skip has the most
wins ever, and Chris has the second most.
Just because
wins
we've been playing the longest. That's the only reason.
Experience counts for something.
That's right. Skip has 11 wins. Chris has 7 wins, and Zach is also in the room.
Yes.
So, you ready?
I'm beyond ready.
Yeah. You're beyond ready.
Beyond ready.
I feel good.
Remember,
today.
He said that but last there, time he was.
Well, yeah.
Here,
well, that's the thing. I'm ready. There's just no guarantee I know the answers.
Okay. Well, check this out. This is the 36th episode of the Weird News Challenge. We didn't get to play last week, so this week is Easter trivia.
Oh my gosh!
Okay.
All the questions will revolve around Easter. That make you more or less confident?
Well, is this like religious based or what?
Yeah, it's just Easter based, man. It can be either one.
You're gonna be on my Easter bunny.
Well, I mean, Easter is a religious holiday, so
it can be both.
Okay.
Hey, do you know that the Saturday Evening Rock Show last week on Easter Eve did a show about rock songs about Jesus?
Nice.
So we can do religion on this station.
That's right.
What is I didn't know there were. What's a rock song about Jesus?
There was 9 of them.
Really? Any Striper?
There, yeah. I did not use Striper. I almost did, but that's not well known. I know, I almost
Battle
did.
Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Yeah, it's a good song. Here, Doobie Brothers did Jesus Is Just All Right With Me right there. That was
there
a good
go.
One.
All right.
That's right.
I'm
up
learning
top.
Something. Yeah. I didn't.
How do you feel?
Jesus and rock and roll. I just would never
How do you feel about it being about Easter? You feel
I'm comfortable.
Does that give you confidence?
Good. As a Christian man, I'm confident.
Yeah. All right, I like it.
I'm all about it.
All right, so it's Skip Weber, Chris Arps, and Zach Factor competing in this week's Weird News Challenge. Let's test the buzzers to make sure they are working. Zach. That's the last time you'll hear that. Chris. Skip.
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
All right. Everybody ready?
We're ready.
Katie Fitzpatrick rule not in effect, okay, which means you can buzz in anytime during the question. Weekend Report Weird News Challenge, episode 36, question number one. The second largest holiday for eating candy is Easter. What is
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
Oh, my God. I'm going to give it to Zach just because...
Just
because
I chimed in.
Just because you actually buzzed.
Mm-hmm.
Zach factor.
I'm going to say Valentine's Day.
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
Skip Weber.
I was going to guess the same thing as Zach, so fortunately he buzzed in before. But since I'm going second largest, it's got to be Christmas.
No.
Wow.
Incorrect. Chris Arps, second largest holiday for eating candy is Easter.
Wait, what is the first? I want to ask. Can I have the question repeated?
That gives me more time.
Tell
the
me.
Second largest holiday for eating candy is Easter. What is the first? I know you guys really.
Halloween?
Yes, sir.
I couldn't think of that at all.
Why would you guys blew that one?
That was terrible. Yeah. You're absolutely
right. When you have to have him repeat the question.
I thought Valentine's Day was definitely.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I guess it's because Halloween is easily the biggest.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
How dumb are we? And this is big. That's big that Chris got that first one. There's only four questions this week, and there's no multiples.
Ooh, so every point is huge.
Every point is huge. All right, here we go. Question number two. What flower is associated
with... Here comes your cocktail.
We're on it today.
Chris Arps.
Lily?
Lily, that is correct.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, oh, okay. I was buzzing in, and I think I beat you, but the judges...
Yeah, it was close.
The judges screwed me on that.
I just want to get this over with today.
You guys are making it hard on me.
As soon as the H sound comes out, that's
when... Switch back to the ding-dings then.
Ding-ding-ding.
There you go.
I'm trying to be...
I understand. But if you feel like it's not working for you...
Here, wait a second. Push it over here, Zach.
There you go. Put the news. Yeah.
All right. I'm loading up the new buzzer.
All right. The new buzzer is installed.
All right.
Do you know why the lily is the flower associated with Easter?
I would just say because it's a white flower of purity.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. Do you know why?
Yes, because it is what bloomed on Jesus at his death. On his deathbed.
That's not what. That's not the information I have here.
I think something like that.
The information I have here is the lily, which is said to grow with its head down to honor Jesus.
Okay,
that's the first I've heard of something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then just because that description.
I think that's what it is. No, I think that's what it is. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
All right, here we go. Question number three. If Chris gets one more, the game's over.
I know.
Question number three. What is the most popular American Easter candy?
Ba-da-ba-bum.
Zach Factor.
Chocolate bunny.
Incorrect.
Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. Jelly beans.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Tony, can you reread the question?
I can. Chris, what is the most popular Easter candy?
It doesn't matter if he gets it or
no,
not.
No, it doesn't. This game's over, baby.
You won. We can't get two points.
What is the most popular Easter candy?
I would have thought chocolate bunnies, too.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Jelly beans?
Nope.
Did we say that already?
Yeah.
It's not only incorrect, it's incorrect twice.
I wasn't
sure. Since he guessed chocolate bunnies. I'm going to say that was his guess. Can I get another guess now?
It's not chocolate bunnies. It's not jelly beans. And it's
Easter
also
peeps.
Not jelly beans.
Easter peeps. Peeps.
Wow.
Peeps.
What is that?
Peeps.
Those are the little birds.
You know
what peeps are?
Because I got it before you told me, you should let this last question be worth two so there can be a tie.
I hated those. How can that be the most popular Easter candy? That was gross. I hate them too.
You ever put them in the microwave?
Nasty.
Oh, my gosh.
You ever put them in the microwave?
I don't care.
Can I tell you what I would do?
Can I tell you what I would do if I could? I would let them harden overnight and cut them up and eat them as cereal if I could. I love them so much.
Oh, God. No, I love them.
That's like Lucky Charms without the cereal, right? Yeah.
They're just pure.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. They're like the little marshmallows. Yeah.
I don't know. I love the Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Yeah, I did too. Peeps are just
You should put one in the microwave just for the fun of it.
I've heard about it. They go huge. Because there's so much air in them. That's why.
Right.
So is this worth two then?
I got Chris, you want to make this one worth two?
Go ahead.
All right.
There you go. Good for the time.
Hey, I'm competition. Let's go. All right, here we go.
I like the way that you threw it at the front runner.
All right. You want your little religion question?
Here it comes. I want it. Let's do it.
Question number four. What animal did Jesus ride on when he... I think it was Chris again.
That's an easy one. Donkey.
That is correct.
Unless you want to read the standard that says it's a colt. Read the translation that says it's a colt. That's what I was going to say, it's a colt. Well, it's,
that's super technical.
I know, but I'm trying to get my two points somehow.
That is super technical.
I'm trying to get my 2 points because I can't buzz in.
Because there is a translation that says colt.
I don't even know.
That's
I'm just trying to get 2 points somehow.
That was Trish Gazelle level dominance.
Yeah, that was good.
That was incredible.
I will say that no, it wasn't, because he just barely beat me every time. Trish Gazelle will bump in by herself
after you say, what?
Beep.
He also answered jelly beans after you answered jelly beans.
I
love me some Jesus, so I know those. I knew those.
Chris Arps has won his eighth.
I'm gaining, Skip. Three more.
Yeah, Skip's at 11. Chris is now at 8. Here's the tiebreaker. It doesn't matter, but we'll ask it anyway for the fun of it. Going back to Peeps, to the closest million, so you don't got to give me 0.5, point anything, just round it up to the closest million, how many Peeps do Americans eat during the Easter season?
And would you say the Easter season is like Lent?
I was thinking, yeah.
I'm going to say 42 million.
I'm going to go with 100 million.
65.
Million?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 65 million.
65 peeps.
600 million.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
600 million peeps. Oh, did you say 100 million?
I said 100 million.
You would have won again. Yeah. You got the tiebreaker.
I'm on it.
Man, you dominated that.
I should be ahead by, what, June? At this pace?
We'll see. Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing Jill Devine faked being sick, because if she would have ran into this buzzsaw.
Yeah.
I mean, you were on it. He was on it.
We had
Zach was even trying to buzz in.
Yeah, we didn't want Jill to cry.
Yeah. I mean, she would have just been overwhelmed.
And she's a
it's probably better that she's not here.
And she just had a baby, too, so we don't want to put that extra stress on her.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe we can get her back in here next week. Unless she was listening.
I don't want any part of that. I won't be able to be here next Saturday. I'm sorry.
All right, I understand.
So it's a couple weeks.
I kind of like beating you guys. Can you come back?
Yeah.
Dang, now he's talking trash.
I'm talking trash.
That's all right.
He's talking trash.
Hey, you've been on an 8-month losing streak, you can talk trash.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, but Skip Weber's going to skip around. Skip Weber's going to stick around, and we're going to talk with him more next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Here it comes. Gotta wait. Oh, yeah. You weren't here last week. We played this song last week, and you weren't
this
here
is,
to do
this
that.
Is actually this is actually my minor theme song.
This is
theme song number 2.
You're right.
I have like a whole theme music. It's just the whole deal.
You have a whole soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly.
The Skip Weber soundtrack.
These two songs.
Yes.
Every time I hear that, I just think I'm in some bar and it's smoky and there's blues playing and you had a few drinks and
that's why it's my theme song. Yeah. That's kind of my MO right there.
All of the music on the Weekend Report is of course provided by Perry Woods, the Woods Experience. You can download his music at iTunes, Amazon, just about anywhere that you can download music. Look for the Woods Experience and check out his music and support local music any chance you get.
There you go. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You have no idea. People of this town have no idea how good you got it.
Yes.
Some people do.
And it's coming back.
I feel like
we went through a lull in like 2000. Maybe like 2005 to 2015.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, as far as
people making music. I'm saying like being able to go out and see live music. Mm-hmm. There wasn't as much of it.
I didn't even agree to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, you get down to, say, the pageant, okay? Now, there's 4 or 5 venues that regularly have music bigger than the pageant.
Yeah.
And that you still have the pageant and Del Mar Hall and some of these other places, at the old Rock House, Helen Fitzgerald's. I mean, these the Cybergs, there's great places to go. Great live Amen. Music places. But what's more important is you have great live bands.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have great.
But a lot of bars and nightclubs were putting DJs in there for a while.
It might be.
The live music is coming back
quality,
even stronger.
I'm just telling you. When you start at El Monstero and Celebration Day and go down from there, and you've got Jason Nelson,
yes.
and you've got Perry Woods, mm-hmm. and you've got some of the people. Now, I'm talking about for the classic rock genre. I don't really know so much on some of the other genres. I mm-hmm. do know that the alternative has a pretty good scene there,
Absolutely.
Too. And there's a lot of indie rock stuff. There's actually a couple good jazz clubs out there. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you look at, for per capita, by far, the best live music in the country, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Don't
here.
Forget about the Dave Glover Band.
Awesome. Of course not.
Which you could see May 23rd Dave Glover 5 live show.
It's a week before my birthday. May 30th.
Yeah, I will be there.
And they're great. Listen, I'll tell you something else. Songs for Soldiers. You ever want to see how good are... Songs for Soldiers has a very diverse set. They have bluegrass, country, blues, like Kim Massey, wonderful mm-hmm. vocalist, alternative... And rock. I mean, it's usually either Super Jam or Joe Dirt ends the night. This year, we're going to do two headliners, two national acts, one country, one.
Nice.
It's going to be unbelievable.
That's awesome.
And that's in a field in Columbia, Illinois.
Right.
You know, Brett Michaels comes and says, "Hello, Columbia, Illinois." I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Amazing.
Did you guys ever go see a show at the old firehouse down by SLU?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I saw George Clinton there in 99. Yeah. Best show I've ever saw in my life.
There you go. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I saw a lot of shows at the firehouse.
I ended up leaving. We left, me and my date, like 2 in the morning because it was like, she's like, "I got to get up and go to work in the morning." And he had about 5 or 6 costume changes. It was crazy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
How did you get back so quickly from Planet Funk?
That
was him. He was on the spaceship hovering above
the
Earth.
Oh, well, they were outside the bus doing who knows what and came
living
back.
Living on Planet Funk.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's exactly... Here, I didn't even talk about the Duck Room. I mean, And there's places out that are popping up. They have good concerts out. Chesterfield Amphitheater now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a beautiful venue.
It is. I'm just telling you. Look, I think there's a lot of cities that people will be afraid to put that out there. They said, we don't have enough local bands to populate that. There would be.
Yes, absolutely.
Look, I've spent some time in L.A., I've spent time in Dallas, I've spent time in Miami. Those three alone, mm-hmm. nothing, nowhere near.
Yep.
Just looking at the social pages, their version of the Riverfront Times.
Yeah, they don't have local music scene.
Especially for the classic rock genre. And I think that there's a radio station in town that's to thank for that. Right. But,
saying something.
That, of course, is Skip Weber. What is happening at Weber Chevrolet?
Well, we've got 2 more days. Monday and Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and I really want to encourage you guys to check it out. April has been so good, such a good truck month. Our number one seller, though, has been Equinoxes. And the other thing that we need to start talking about is the availability of cruises is going on a downward. We took a gigantic amount of extra ones on our last shipment, but they're done building them. They stopped building them the 3rd week of March.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have, a couple more still coming in, but that's it. There's no more ordering them. So great car. It's been the number one selling vehicle in St. Louis for years. Chevrolet, along with some other brands, has made the decision to get out of the passenger car because everybody's going to crossovers.
Yep.
So if you're looking for a cruise, it's going to get tighter and tighter and tighter of a market. Now, the Chevy Trax is what they're kind of what they're saying. It's a crossover, same price, fantastic vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to, as long as people learn about it, should be able to sell tons of those too.
Right.
But the Cruze was so popular that, I mean, if you like those and you wanted to get one of the last ones, it's just going to get tighter and tighter.
Yep. And you just mentioned 2 days left on truck months in April. The new Silverados are incredible.
Yes. And this was the first month that we had decent incentives on it.
Yeah.
We had 0 for 72.
Yeah. If you've been waiting, knowing that, well, they were fresh out of the box and, you know, there wasn't a lot of incentives on them, now is your chance to take advantage of some of that stuff.
They normally take these brands and they heap a little bit of incremental incentives every month as they get older and older and older. I don't see them necessarily doing that going April to May because truck month being focused on Silverado, mm-hmm. they'll take that off and then they'll look at what the base incentive. So the base incentive will be higher in May, but you won't have that truck month on top of it.
You know,
doubt you'll have zero for 72, put it that way.
Before I had the Silverado that I have now, I had a Colorado, and I loved my Colorado. You don't hear very much about the Colorado. What's going on with that line?
This is the most Colorados we've ever sold before.
Really?
Yeah. I think what happened is people came and look at the Silverado, and they realize here the price point on Silverado and F-150 and Tundra and all the pickups has gone up.
Yeah.
It's more expensive than ever.
Yeah.
And people like to use them as family vehicles. They didn't realize that the Colorado is not the old S10.
It's not.
It's way bigger.
It
can still be a family vehicle.
That is such
vehicle.
A great point, yeah. Because my Colorado, which, again, yeah. I loved, was noticeably smaller than my Silverado.
Right.
I see the Colorados now.
Just barely.
They're not, not the little, when you think of mid-size pickups, if you've been driving trucks for, 10, 15, 20, 40, whatever, how many years, and you think of that smaller line, like you said, the S10, or mid-size pickups, you have a picture in your head.
Yeah, S10, Ford Ranger.
And it's a little truck.
Yeah.
But the new Colorados are nothing like that.
They can be family vehicles. Very comfortable family of four vehicle.
Yeah.
For the back seat, for the crew cab. The only thing you're losing is you're losing room in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need all that 6 foot bed or 6.5 foot bed or 8 foot bed, no, you don't get that with Colorado.
Right.
If you just need a bed for a little, if you help friends move every now and then, if you haul firewood, whatever, bring hay back to feed the horses, whatever you might do. It's good enough. Worst thing to do is you make two trips instead of one.
So, as I've been wanting a new truck for a while, and we've been looking into it. And I even mentioned to my wife, I said, look, if Silverado isn't right, I wouldn't mind driving a Colorado again.
Well, here's the bonus for it, too, for those of you who like to think locally. Built in Wentzville.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's local, really cool.
Local people. People listening to this show right now.
Build and assemble
those Colorados.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Yep.
I love that stuff. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I got a question. It's kind of off subject
bit. Mm-hmm.
But when GM discontinued Pontiac and Oldsmobile and all did you see a big influence of people saying, well, they don't make these cars anymore, maybe the parts, and they've started buying new cars? Or what's happened to those
buyers?
A
little bit. We got trade-ins of all those vehicles. Mm-hmm. I mean, typical GM shops, especially our Creve-Coeur shop, is the biggest parts department in about a 1,000-mile radius. But we always stocked all the parts for all the brands, even Cadillacs.
Okay.
We don't necessarily work on tons of Cadillacs, but we still sell to suppliers who do. But we had the parts. But so you're going to have the demand for that. But no, we still get Saturns and Oldsmobile trade-ins that are real old. Most of them, look, GM did that before the age of information. GM had all those brands.
Mm-hmm.
They were all built together.
Yeah.
Same, few engineering tweaks. I mean, Oldsmobile, the Cutlass was the same as the Celebrity, was the same as the whatever.
The Buick Riviera. All those cars are the same body style.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. I've always wondered, what is the purpose of doing that, especially now that it's down to basically GMC and Chevrolet.
The purpose
and you have
was,
these vehicles
it was
that
to
are
get into people's heads and say Chevrolet's for the everyman, Buick is for the older, affluent people, Pontiac is for the sports car enthusiasts, and Oldsmobile was for the, upper middle class.
Yeah.
Now that's Chevrolet took it over, so we have everything from the very base all the way to the LTZ models and all the way through.
Yeah.
Now you have it. It exists because Buick. You can't exist as a car only anymore. So a Buick dealer has to have trucks to sell. So they're all paired up with Buick and GMC.
Yeah, but why not just call them all the same thing? When you have a GMC. Yeah. What's the Silverado version of the GMC? What's it called when it's not a Chevy?
Silverado.
The truck. The GMC is called Silverado?
No. It's just a GMC. GMC truck.
Sierra. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not just call them all Silverados now? Since they're literally the exact same truck. Aren't they literally the same truck?
Different grill. It's the only thing.
Okay. Okay. Different so there's at least a slight difference.
Yeah, but only in appearance, not in performance or anything else.
Right.
No, they.
Why not just call them all this? UConn's, Denali. You know, like some of them.
I really don't know, except for they still wanted a separation because the Buicks are more luxury.
Right.
The top of the line Buicks are a little bit more expensive, a little bit more luxury.
Right.
Than the very top of the line Chevrolet, but the GMCs are not.
Right.
But you can't. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't discontinue GMC and make GMC dealers Chevrolet dealers. I don't know.
Always found that very interesting literally the same vehicle.
The amount of money they saved getting rid of the brands.
Sure. Yeah.
Now people lost jobs and designers lost jobs, but to have to market five brands instead of one or two.
No, I get it.
Well, here, it's just Ford is the number one selling pickup, the Ford Open 50.
Mm-hmm.
But if you took Chevrolets and GMCs, they blow it away.
Yeah.
But they're competing with only Chevrolet is about 70% of the pickup sales.
Right.
My mom had a 79 Cutlass, Buick Riviera, the Buick Regal, the Monte Carlo. They were all the exact same cars. The back and the front were different, but other than that, they were the same cars.
And you could buy a Monte Carlo that was cheaper than those others if you wanted to. That's where the difference was.
Right.
You couldn't get a decontented Riviera. But you could also get a Monte Carlo that was just as nice as the Riviera.
All right, we got to wrap it up.
That's GM talk here.
Yeah, I love it. My
answer to you is I don't know why they don't do that. I really, really don't because it still costs more money. Now, two channels.
Just call them all Sierras or all Silverados. Yeah, they're the same
truck. Two channels is still cheaper than five, but I do think they want to have two niches somehow or another.
Yeah.
But in the information age, it's no longer a secret. They're the same vehicles.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, well, that is going to wrap it up. Don't forget about the Saturday evening rock show tonight at 9, starring Skip Weber. Listen in and see if you can figure out this week's theme. I love that you do that every week.
I think this is the hardest one yet to figure out the theme, but once I tell you what it is, you'll go, oh, man, what a cool show.
That's my prediction. I love it. So keep it here for that. 9 o'clock tonight, Saturday evening rock show with Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet. Thanks so much for your time, my friend. And for my partner, Chris Arps, Zach Factor, who was in for Ryan Wiggins this week, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to another edition of The Weekend Report. We'll see you back here next week on FM News Talk 97.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.